From WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news, WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
The death toll from Ian has now exceeded 100. Hundreds of homes unlivable. Search and rescue efforts are still ongoing. How people from Florida to the Carolinas are coping in Ian's aftermath.
Yesterday, Ian brought some clouds to our area, and now we're seeing bright skies across most of the area. I'll show you when our temperatures will finally return to normal, coming up.
Plus, financial scams targeting older adults are widespread and costly. The efforts to teach them about the red flags and to protect their money. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining us. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. It's been 6 days now since Hurricane Ian left parts of Southwest Florida in ruins. More than 100 people in Florida have been killed. An additional 5 deaths in North Carolina are attributed to the storm. And almost 2,000 have been rescued. So far, officials estimate the damages at more than $50 billion. Tomorrow, President Biden and the First Lady will travel there to see the devastation firsthand. Robert Ray reports from Fort Myers.
Nearly a week after Ian slammed into Southwest Florida, hundreds of thousands are facing another day without power.
I've had no internet, no cable, no nothing.
Florida's largest power utility estimates electricity could be fully restored by the end of the week to customers who still have power lines and electrical infrastructure intact.
We've been able to get a lot of folks up quickly because we're able to repair clean areas, all the debris.
The situation is even more dire on the hard-hit Barrier Islands. Here in Lee County, Ian washed away bridges and roads, making it difficult for utility crews to assess the damage. Efforts are underway to build temporary bridges to Pine Island and Sanibel. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says National Guard helicopters will be flying in supplies and linemen to assist residents who stayed behind.
You just need to get people on there, and they need to start doing what needs to be done, clearing roads. And we are working on the roads and all that now.
Across Southwest Florida, residents are beginning to clean up after Ian's floodwaters soaked their homes. Water levels still remain high across much of the region. Officials expect recovery from this storm to take months, if not years.
It was just like Noah's Ark. You didn't know how high the water was going to come. When it started coming in, we didn't know when it was going to stop.
Well, the sunshine is back across much of the viewing area, but it's feeling cool out there. Some spots are still stuck in the clouds due to the remnants of Ian. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at when warmer temperatures return across our entire region.
And the last time we saw much sunshine here was Wednesday. So we had 5 days across most of the viewing area where we were under the clouds. And of course, we had rain and wind to deal with, too, of course, last Friday into Saturday. Right now it is 65 degrees. Our dew point's way down at 40. So it feels very crisp. We see bright skies out there, and it really looked like we were going to see a good bit of cloud cover really all the way from Wilson and Rocky Mount to all the way up through the northeast across parts of Halifax County and Northampton counties. But we really saw some clearing there earlier this morning. We're starting to see the clouds fill back in those areas, but most of us are seeing a good bit of sunshine right now. You can see the low pressure system that was Ian rotating here in southeast Virginia. It's continuing to push a lot of rain in from Washington, D.C. all the way up through New York and into New England, where there's been some flooding, and they continue to see some heavy rain. But what we're seeing here is a cool breeze coming out of the north-northwest, but we're seeing some sunshine across most of the area right now. And you can tell by looking at the temperatures, they're pretty uniform in the low to mid-60s. It's possible that if we cloud up a bit more in our northeastern counties, that it'll be slightly cooler there, maybe with a high of 65 in Rocky Mount and 64 in South Hill. But we'll likely climb on up into the low 70s, where we're seeing all that sunshine. Certainly Southern Pines and Fayetteville, and possibly even approaching 70 in Durham and Raleigh. This is a look at our hour-by-hour forecast. So we're looking at cool temperatures. It's not as windy as it was yesterday. We're seeing plenty of sunshine. So a pleasantly cool fall day. Our temperatures by this evening will drop closer to 60 degrees. We still have several chilly mornings in our forecast. We'll talk about when we could see some of the coldest air of the season coming up.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Happening today, a rapper convicted of shooting and killing a 9-year-old boy in Durham could learn how long he'll spend behind bars. WRAL's Michelle McConaughey is here now with updates on the case involving Antonio Davenport. Michelle.
Renee, WRAL will be in the courtroom today as a sentencing hearing begins for Antonio Davenport. That's set to take place in less than 2 hours at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Davenport was found guilty on Thursday of the 2019 murder of 9-year-old Zion Person. The shooting happened the night of August 18th back in 2019 near the intersection of Duke and Leon Streets. Person was shot in the back as he was riding in a car with his family to get snow cones. Prosecutors say Davenport's gang mistook the family's SUV as one belonging to its rivals. Davenport's charges include murder and racketeering. He faces two life sentences. We will update you on air and online as soon as we learn anything new.
Michelle, thanks for the update.
And breaking here in the WRAL Live Center, the music world mourning the death of country music legend Loretta Lynn. Her Tell It Like It Is lyrics and down-home vocals made her a queen of country music. She was known as a coal miner's daughter from her 1971 hit, Hers is a Rags to Riches Story. Lynn had no formal music training, just sang about what she felt and experienced having grown up poor in the Appalachian mining town in Kentucky. Her family says Lynn died peacefully in her sleep at her Tennessee ranch. Loretta Lynn was 90 years old.
Financial scams targeting older adults are widespread and costly. Just last year, older adults lost $1.7 billion due to fraud. That's according to the FBI. Five on Your Side's Keely Arthur is live in Wendell, where local advocates are educating that population. Keely?
Jeff, I want to be clear that anyone can fall victim to a scam no matter their age. But as scammers become more sophisticated and technology evolves, that is why it is so hard for adults of that older generation to keep track of what's legitimate and what's fake. We're here in Wendell today. You can see a few kiosks, and then inside those double doors is where the real magic is happening. This is the Seniors at Risk Scams, Threats, Prevention, and Solutions. Right now, it is going on. You can still come down. It's right off of Lake Drive. Some of the most common scams, they say, involve rental assistance, Amazon, gift cards, money apps, and cryptocurrency. I spoke with one volunteer here who was a victim herself to a timeshare scam. She was contacted online, told she owed $1,500, and was tricked because of how sophisticated the message looked.
The way publishing and online has developed, they can recreate so many things and it looks so, so real. So it's important to identify with like Social Security to know that they never send an email.
Now, she paid through PayPal and was luckily able to get that money back. But of course, you never want to send money unless you're 100% sure. The head of Truist Bank was here today and shared a story of his mom being scammed. Now, she luckily called him before sending over any money. And that's the big message here today. Before sending money or if something feels off, ask a friend, a trusted financial advisor, or come here to the Wake Senior Center. Everyone, no matter your age, can always use that second pair of eyes to help verify something.
Yeah, such hard lessons learned. Keely Arthur live in Wendell this noon for us. Keely, thank you. Those fraud and scam incidents are on the rise through the popular payment app Zelle as well. A report found that in the first half of this year, there were almost 200,000 cases where a customer claimed they were tricked into sending money. Those cases were worth nearly $214 million. Banks only reimbursed a small fraction of those cases. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau could issue new regulations that would require banks to compensate victims of a wider range of frauds and scams.
There's still time for families to claim their child tax credit using a simple online tool. The deadline to use the website getctc.org is November 15th. Parents and legal guardians can receive up to $3,600 per child under 6 years old and $3,000 per child under 18. If you miss the deadline to file online, you still have up to 3 years after the first due date to receive the tax credit, but it will be a longer process.
The candidates for an open U.S. Senate seat here in North Carolina are in a statistical dead heat. That's according to a newly released WRL News poll. It shows 43% of voters in our state support Republican candidate Ted Budd, and 42% are in favor of Democrat Sherry Beasley. 13% of those voters were undecided. We talked with Budd and a spokesperson for Beasley about why they're the better choice for office.
Voters out there are concerned about inflation, they're worried about crime, they're worried about education, they want parents want to say in their kids' education. So those are the things we're talking about.
Sherry has expressed to the people that she is an independent thinker, that she upholds the Constitution, that she believes in the right of women and to control their bodies.
Of the many topics we surveyed, our exclusive poll found the economy is the top issue for voters. Experts say this race could tip the balance of power in the Senate. We'll be releasing results of our exclusive WRL News poll all week. Tonight at 5:30, we take a closer look at the race for North Carolina Supreme Court. Who has the advantage? That's tonight at 5:30.
President Biden will discuss access to reproductive health care later today. The president is attending the second meeting of the White House's Task Force on Reproductive Health Care Access. He plans to speak at the gathering. It will happen around 3:30 p.m. Today, Wake County public school leaders will reconsider the future of remote learning days. This comes as questions grow about how useful those days actually are for students. WRA's Laura Levine is in Cary to explain the proposed changes.
After 2 years of virtual learning and dealing with some learning loss during the pandemic, Wick County school leaders want to make sure students are back on track with in-person instruction. Just one reason why we will see some of them meeting here in Cary tonight. Now, the purpose of this new policy is to ensure teachers are using work days first and only using remote learning when absolutely necessary. Following state law, the school system is allowed to use up to 5 days for remote learning for emergency situations. This policy will specify exactly what constitutes as an emergency. For example, a natural disaster, inclement weather, public health emergencies, energy shortages, power failures, just to list a few. Education reporter Emily Walkenhorst tells me some concern was shared among members about whether or not schools should just be canceled for things like snow days.
So some school board members really just wanted to make sure that remote learning was used as an absolute last resort. Because even for some of them, even just a couple of days of remote learning a year was maybe going to be logistically challenging for certain families.
And of course, during an emergency, it's up to the superintendent to consult with school board members before making that call to go remote or not. The meeting this afternoon begins at 5:30. Laura Levine, WRL News, Cary.
Next at noon, a 7-year-old boy donates his piggy bank to Hurricane Ian survivors. Why he says he did it.
Also, a state fair staple is the food, right? The new additions to this year's mouth-watering menu.
Plus, expansion in Raleigh is not for everyone. The group speaking out today that wants to slow the growth.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Now back to our coverage of Hurricane Ian's impact. A young boy is doing his part to help people in Florida recover from the storm. The 7-year-old's mother posted this video on social media. It shows him talking about his plan to donate all the money in his piggy bank. And he admits that he planned to save up for a Corvette or an electric scooter, but he said the people need this. And a family in Fort Myers, Florida, returned to their hurricane-ravaged neighborhood to see what they could salvage. They were shocked at what they found.
Yeah, that's me when I lived in North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, it's just like such a cool photo because, I mean, like all of our family members have this photo. And it's kind of cool to see it. I just walked over and
yeah,
like, that's me.
I remember this photo too because like every single time you take Christmas pictures, I always have like a meltdown. So.
So glad they were able to find that, although they were sad that so much was destroyed by the storm. They say it was so special to find pictures and decorations that were meaningful to their grandmother and a North Carolina connection.
The North Carolina State Fair is coming up next week, and one of the big attractions is always the new food. This year will certainly not disappoint. WRL Lifestyle Editor Kathy Hanrahan is here with a new list of some of the food that we can expect there. And first up, exotic meat on the list. What is this rattlesnake sausage all about?
I knew that would be the thing you wanted to talk about first because it's so unusual. Okay, the fair released its new food list this morning. And yes, rattlesnake sausage and corn dogs are on the list now. Pioneer Wagon, they've got it's deep fried. It's like a corn dog. It's topped with avocado sauce. They're also going to have elk corn dogs and snake bite nachos.
Avocado's healthy, so that's,
it is.
That's a good start,
right? Protein, get your protein from the snake.
For bacon fans, there are a few new items here, right?
Bacon is always really big at the fair, right? Okay, so bacon, Bubba's bacon. They had the maple bacon on a stick, unicorn bacon in the frosting, remember that? They're going to have the deep-fried bacon mac and cheese taco, all your food groups in there, stuffed into a taco and deep-fried.
Of course.
If that's not enough, you got Beaver Concessions. They're going to have the deep-fried piggy tails. That's bacon, deep-fried, and then topped with powdered sugar, cinnamon, and then syrup.
Oh, a little sweet topping there.
A little sweet, sweet, savory, salty.
Next item is great for pickle fans.
And I was saying this reminds me of a Pete the Cat book that my daughter always reads. Dill pickle pizza. Rudy's, they're going to have a traditional cheese pizza, and they're going to top it with dill pickles. All the pickle juice.
Finally, Thanksgiving. It's just a month away, so instead of turkey and stuffing, they're going to stuff the turkey leg?
Why not? Everything's going to be bigger at the fair, right? Okay, Hickory Tree Turkey Barbecue. They're serving up a Thanksgiving stuffed turkey leg. Now, it's a smoked turkey leg filled with stuffing, gravy, cranberry sauce, and if that's not enough, you can add candied yams, collards, and mac and cheese. I can't imagine walking around eating this. You're going to need, like, two hands.
I can't imagine not. It's going to be great. There's a full list if you're interested. The new fair foods, just go to WRL.com, search State Fair. Kathy, thank you.
Okay, all of that looks so good. I want to get the stretchy pants on right now because I'm already plotting out what I'm going to eat. Deep-fried bacon, mac and cheese, something.
That turkey leg,
turkey
I think
leg?
You're going to need a bib for that. Don't you think?
Something.
Oh, my goodness. It is crazy, but it's so creative. You know, you think, well, they can't come up with anything else this year, right? And then they do. There it is, the turkey leg with all the fixings on it, just on the leg. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Oh, and it is just around the corner. I can't believe it's already time for the state fair. It begins at the end of next week. Mm-mm-mm. Let's take a look at Lake Gaston. A minute ago, there was a boat that was moving by, but temperatures are in the 60s. You know, we can have some beautiful weather this time of year. As a matter of fact, Friday, high temperature is going to be close to 80 degrees. Still going to be, you know, lake weather at that point. But, you know, the days where it's in the 60s, pretty chilly, and we are seeing some cloud cover. The farther north and east you go, the more cloud cover we're going to end up seeing today because of the proximity of the low pressure system. It's actually sitting not too far from Norfolk and Virginia Beach, and we still have a lot of cloud cover closer to the coast, but a lot of that slipped eastward. We are seeing some of that building back across parts of Halifax and Northampton counties, but so much of our viewing area is finally seeing a bit of sunshine. We started to cloud up, of course, last Thursday as Ian started to move northward. And this is the low that at one point was Ian. Of course, the low rotates counterclockwise, and it continues to push all this rain in around parts of Maryland, New Jersey, New York, D.C., and northward. They've been seeing it sit here for the last several days, so they keep getting rain over and over. The low finally will start to move away from us tomorrow. We take a look at futurecast for the rest of the afternoon. Notice that rotation may push some more cloud cover as far south and west as Durham and Raleigh as we get into 5 or 6 o'clock this evening. There may be a quick shower around or north of Rocky Mount later on today. But as we get into the day tomorrow, all this finally starts to pull away. So our high temperatures this afternoon, 71 Southern Pines and in Fayetteville. We're going to get close to 70 in the Triangle area. We're probably going to hold it into the mid-60s around South Hill and Rocky Mount just because they'll end up being a bit more cloud cover there. We'll take another look. We watched that low sliding on out of here. This is this afternoon and evening, and then finally it picks up and decides to move off. And what's happening there is we get some upper level winds that start to push it away from us. High pressure builds in. It's going to be nice for us on Thursday and Friday. We'll get back into a southerly, southwesterly flow, warming us up ahead of our front. This front's likely to be a dry one. No rain associated with it, but it is going to drop a big chilly air mass on us just in time for the weekend. Our normal high is 77. We'll be almost 10 degrees cooler than that for today in most of the area. But we hit 77 on Thursday and then 82 on Friday. And then we drop that temperature. 67 on Saturday. And we're looking at 60s on Sunday. And then just a small warm up into next week. But temperatures will stay below normal once we hit the weekend and on at least through the middle of next week. You can see that here in the 7-day forecast. It is a dry 7-day forecast. We're not looking at rain anytime in the next 7 days. But look at these chilly temperatures. We drop down potentially to 45 on Sunday morning. If it falls a little farther than that, there could be some spots in our northern counties that get close to a patchy frost. And yes, it is almost that time. Right now, it looks a little too warm, but only by a few degrees.
Elizabeth, thanks. It's been almost 3 weeks since the Islamic Morality Police killed a girl for showing some of her hair in Iran. Tonight, we're hearing from a Raleigh man from Iran as he talks about the impacts the protests have had on his life and the friends he's lost as protests continue.
A North Carolina woman was waiting on unemployment benefits for more than 2 years. That is, until she called Keeley. I share how I got her more than $4,000 back.
And still ahead this noon, working from home may seem like a godsend for many, but some analysts say it could come at a high price.
Plus, cardboard cars could be coming to a road near you. We'll have a look at the unique sustainable vehicles turning heads.
Yes, you are looking live at the NC State Fairgrounds right there. I can almost smell those new additions to the menu already. Opens on the 13th, runs through the 23rd of this month. You're watching WRL News, available on Spectrum and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. A new shortage for airlines to deal with and why Taco Bell is apologizing. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
Airlines are facing yet another shortage. This time, it's of jets. Boeing and Airbus are months behind schedule in delivering the single-aisle planes often used for domestic flights. This is according to the Wall Street Journal. It says the delays are making it hard for airlines to add flights and plan schedules and meet the surge in demand for air travel. Plane makers Boeing and Airbus are still working through supply chain issues, and Boeing still needs to get an FAA approval for its latest 737 MAX jets. You can now buy Tupperware at Target. It's part of a major shift for the 76-year-old brand. Previously, the plastic food storage containers were available through in-home Tupperware parties or on its website. But this past June, Amazon began selling the items, and Tupperware hopes selling through Target will bring it to younger shoppers who never experienced the era of in-home Tupperware parties. Taco Bell has recruited Pete Davidson for its new ad, apologizing for missteps with its breakfast menu. The comedian says, "Sometimes we go too far. I have." He goes on to say that's why the chain hired him to apologize. Taco Bell says past breakfast creations like the naked egg taco and the waffle taco may have gone too far. It plans to focus on more conventional breakfast items. And Davidson says people want to ease into the morning with tasty, simple food. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber on the Money Desk.
And happening now in the WREL Live Center, the FAA releasing new rules about how many hours flight attendants can work. Regulators now requiring airlines to give flight attendants at least a 10-hour rest time break between shifts. Currently, they get at least 9 hours, sometimes as little as 8 hours. Aviation leaders, along with members of the Association of Flight Attendants, gathered at Reagan National in D.C. to celebrate what they are calling a historic decision.
During those years of flying the line, I remember many times being at maximum duty with minimal layover time. And flight attendants had even fewer rest hours than pilots. I worked alongside them, traveled with them, and I can tell you firsthand that well-rested crew members are important to safety. And as we've seen too often recently, they are in the front lines, or they are on the front lines, responding to unruly passengers who could threaten the safety of flight and other passengers. Like I said, they need just as much rest, because flight attendants are the foundation of aviation safety's culture, starting with cabin safety.
Well, airlines have 90 days to implement these changes.
Ken, thanks. Raleigh City Council members are set to discuss a new rezoning proposal today. Why local residents are upset by the uptick in requests.
Plus, the estranged wife of the founder of the far-right Oath Keepers group is giving us new insight into how she says her husband planned the January 6th riot. First, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Raleigh is experiencing growing pains. With city council on the verge of approving more housing and businesses, some neighbors are ready to speak out against the plans already on the table. WRAL's Nye Harden reports from Seaboard Station, one of the many places city leaders have agreed to change.
Well, you can't tell by looking at it, but here behind me where the Seaboard Station is, this will soon be what could be up to 20 stories tall of a building that we would be looking at here in this area. It's not just this particular area, though, where this is happening. It is happening all across Raleigh, and people have not been happy with the recent uptick. Just last month, at least 19 rezonings were approved to allow buildings up to 20 stories or taller. Another 19 are under review, most of them in downtown, midtown, North Hills, and the Briar Creek area. During the pandemic, the city council changed the city zoning code to allow for smaller homes on smaller lots and denser development near high-frequency transit. It's called missing middle. One group called Save Our Neighborhoods plans to address the situation at tonight's council meeting. WRAL will be there tonight at 7 o'clock, and we'll have updates for you in our later newscast. Nia Harden, WRAL News in Raleigh.
Wake County Public Schools could move forward today on bonuses for all pre-K through fifth grade teachers. The school board is considering spending $16 million to give out $2,000 bonuses. The reason for the extra money would be to encourage teachers to do the 100 plus hours of professional development needed for the state's new reading curriculum. The district already offered a bonus for those who did it last year. Some have complained about the new curriculum since it doesn't count toward licensure for many teachers.
Tonight, voters in Fayetteville can learn more about a big spending plan on the ballot this fall. The city is hosting another education session about what's called the Fayetteville Forward Bond Proposal. The plan includes three ballot referendums that would issue up to $97 million to address issues including safety, infrastructure, and housing. Today's session starts at 5:45 p.m. at the Stony Point Recreation Center. And later this week, plans to add a social district in downtown Durham could move forward. City Council will hear a presentation on the idea Thursday. It would allow people to carry alcoholic drinks as they walk around streets and inside participating businesses. The proposed map would cover all of downtown. We spoke with the head of Downtown Durham Incorporated. She says her group spent months surveying businesses about this.
We really see the benefit of getting people to move and walk about a downtown area and experience all the great things that we have in downtown, our parks, our wonderful walkability, our wonderful small businesses, and our wonderful larger events and venues that we have in the downtown area.
The proposed social district would run 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m.
We're hearing from former NC Courage head coach Paul Riley after a scathing report on sexual misconduct in women's soccer. That report includes accusations against Riley and other coaches detailing a systemic failure to protect players from verbal and sexual abuse. When we asked him for a statement, Riley told us, quote, not much of an independent investigation, end quote, and declined to comment further. We also spoke with the lead investigator.
Abuse in women's professional soccer appears rooted in youth soccer. Although our mandate was to investigate abuses in the NWSL, not in youth soccer, the sad reality is that the abuse that we confronted does appear to be rooted there.
The report says no anti-harassment policies were put in place until recent years.
The House committee investigating the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol could have its final hearing next week, but new information is emerging nearly every day about the case. Amy Kiley gives us new insight into the day the riot happened.
Every moment he wasn't personally terrorizing us as a family, he was preparing to terrorize the rest of the nation.
Here's new insight about what key figures were doing during the January 6th attack. Five alleged members of the far-right Oath Keepers group are on trial, charged with seditious conspiracy. The estranged wife of founder Stuart Rhodes says he studied manipulation techniques to inspire others to storm the Capitol. Asked if his Yale law degree played a role in his decision not to enter the building, she said,
he was never going to go into that Capitol.
According to one of the few attorneys who's worked on a sedition case,
it doesn't matter. If the activities are foreseeable, part of the agreement, then you're in for a penny, you're in for a pound.
And new insight into how lawmakers sheltered during the riot. An FBI agent testified senators seemed shocked, and some were crying. As for then-President Donald Trump, newly released audio shows at one point he denied watching the riot unfold on TV.
I had heard that afterwards, and actually on the late side.
Testimony to the January 6th panel contradicts that.
Was the violence happening visible on the screen on the television?
Yes.
That was Amy Kiley reporting. The five defendants in the Oath Keepers trial have pleaded not guilty to seditious conspiracy and other charges. And this news comes the same day the former president announced a new lawsuit against CNN. The lawsuit accuses the news outlet of defamation ahead of the 2020 election. It says CNN cost him the presidential race and seeks $475 million in damages. CNN has not responded.
Tonight, police departments across our area are asking the community to take part in National Night Out. That's a national effort to foster stronger relationships with neighbors by holding celebrations with live music, food, and more. In Morrisville, the event runs from 6 to 9 at the Western Wake Farmers Market. In Rocky Mount, the fun goes from 6 to 8 tonight at the Helen P. Gay Historic Train Station. And in Sanford, the celebration runs from 5 to 9 p.m. at various neighborhoods. This will be Sanford's first National Night Out since the pandemic. Foods that get to use the word healthy on their packaging. How the government is updating labeling requirements so you know what that really means. Plus, cars made out of cardboard. Why a French automaker is changing our concept of cars to make them more eco-friendly. Remember, you can watch WRAL News live anytime on WRAL.com or the WRAL app on your streaming device.
Well, happening now in the WRAL Live Center, around here we all know that competitive fishing is big business and big money. Check out what happened in Ohio over the weekend. Two longtime competitors and repeat winners of the Lake Erie Walleye Trail Fishing Tournament were about to take another title when it was discovered they placed weights inside their fish. There you see the tournament director slicing open the walleye fish to reveal the weights. Of course, many in the crowd were outraged by the find, yelling at the fishermen and demanding answers. Of course, they did not get the win. They were disqualified.
They might even get charged and sent to jail. That is some fish story right there. The fountain of youth could depend on your state of mind. A startup examined people's aging clocks and found unhappiness can add up to 20 months to a person's biological clock. They say being unhappy or lonely can speed up the aging process, more than smoking even. The study adds unhappiness or loneliness increases risk of cardiovascular disease roughly by one-third. Analysts say white rice and pasta are as harmful to the heart as candy. Researchers studied 2,500 people with normal arteries and some with coronary artery disease. Participants answered a food frequency questionnaire to determine how often they ate whole and refined grains. Researchers found a higher intake of refined grain like white rice and pasta was associated with an increased risk of premature coronary artery disease.
The FDA is proposing new restrictions for using the healthy claim on food packaging. The agency says roughly 5% of packaged food products are labeled as healthy. Those labels are based on standards defined in 1994. Now the FDA wants to update the definition to match current nutrition science. In order to have the claim healthy on their packaging, the FDA says products would need to contain a certain amount of food from at least one of the recommended food groups. Pregnant women should not worry about taking numerous types of common antidepressants. A new study published by the JAMA Internal Medicine Journal says using those medications are not linked with medical concerns like autism, behavioral issues, and mental disabilities. Previous studies over the past few decades said antidepressant use while pregnant could cause problems. But those involved with the study say the quality of that research could be lacking.
A sustainable car featuring parts made from a special reinforced cardboard material. Yeah, cardboard. Why creators believe it could dominate roads in just a few years.
And get ready to grab your favorite samples at Trader Joe's. But there's one staple that will not be available. Details after the break. Electric cars can be a sustainable way of reducing greenhouse gas emissions, but making electric cars from sustainable materials is a double-edged sword in the fight to reduce climate change. Jackie Ibanez has a special look at the electric cardboard cars that could be on the roads in just a few years.
Cars made from cardboard. It sounds far-fetched, but French automaker Citroën says it's the way of the future, revealing its latest electric car model called Ollie, which promises to help combat the ongoing climate crisis.
We have to manage the climate global warming. In the meantime, families still need to be mobile and to have this freedom of mobility.
The roof, pickup bed, and hood are all made from a special honeycomb cardboard reinforced with a plastic coating. They're all lighter than the same parts on traditional vehicles without compromising strength.
We could climb all together on the roof without any issue.
Another aim at making Ollie more sustainable? Officials say they reduced unnecessary features typical in cars.
Some features are used less than 2% of the time. So we said, okay, how can we reduce to what is really necessary for day-to-day life with our customers? And doing that, we reduce the number of electronic boards, the number of features that may be not completely useful.
This helps reduce the amount of electricity the cars consume. The windows also open manually, and the windshield is vertical instead of tilted, reducing the car's internal temperature.
Less parts, less weight, less impact on the planet.
Officials say Ollie can last for about 50 years and can be recycled at the end of its life.
That was Jackie Ibanez reporting. Ollie is expected to go on sale by 2030 for around $25,000.
And last 50 years, that's amazing. We get a sneak peek at the Black Panther sequel and a look at Will Smith's first movie release since the Oscar slapping incident with Chris Rock. Rick Damigella has today's Hollywood Minute.
Show them who we are.
Disney and Marvel Studios are showing MCU fans even more of Black Panther Wakanda Forever. The movie's second trailer doesn't specifically reveal who is now wearing the suit and carrying the mantle of Black Panther. The superpowered sequel arrives in movie theaters November 11th.
I heard it myself. Slaves are free. Zazu. Lincoln.
Here is your first look at Will Smith in Emancipation. This is Smith's first project to reach audiences since the incident at this year's Oscars ceremony. Directed and executive produced by Antoine Fuqua and based on a true story, the movie stars Smith as a runaway slave trying to escape from plantation owners. Emancipation debuts in theaters December 2nd, followed by Apple TV Plus December 9th. In Hollywood, I'm Rick Damigella.
We have just a beautiful day out there right now. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRL Severe Weather Center. Blue skies everywhere and finally warmed up a little bit.
That low pressure system has moved just far enough away from us to bring us some sunshine, even in Goldsboro. It really felt like Goldsboro is probably going to be stuck in the clouds for a good bit of the day today. And there may be some more wraparound moisture a little bit later on, maybe late afternoon and evening, that brings us a little more cloud cover. But I mean, look at these skies. Completely clear in Apex and Chapel Hill, at least in the direction that we're looking. And Chapel Hill, of course, that is our view from Top of the Hill Restaurant. It's a little breezy in Chapel Hill, but it's certainly not as windy as it was yesterday. Yesterday, we were gusting 20 to 25. We're seeing that breeze at about 10 to 15 today. There's a look at that low pressure system that just hasn't been moving. And of course, over the weekend, it parked itself in western North Carolina and then just slid here to the coast. And gradually, the upper level winds will start to push it away from us during the day tomorrow, but it's just going to sit here. Of course, that low pressure system rotates counterclockwise. It continues to bring a lot of rain across parts of eastern New York, New Jersey. There's been some flooding there. And I know they'll be happy to get rid of it because they've had several days of rain from the system. So once it moves out, things are looking better for them. There's definitely some cloud cover here in eastern North Carolina, especially northeastern North Carolina, a little bit closer to the low. And the closer you are to it, the more cloud cover we'll end up seeing. But it's rotating a little bit of moisture back around for a few more clouds later this afternoon. This is a look at what's coming next. We have the next wave coming off the coast of Africa. And the National Hurricane Center bumped up its potential to about 80%. It looks like it will probably develop into a tropical depression in the next 24 hours. But on this path to the north and west, it moves into an area that's less conducive for development by, say, Thursday and Friday. So it's not likely to get the name Julia, but that is the next name on the list if it were to happen. You could see the model plots. Take it toward Bermuda, but then turn it north. So right now it looks like it shouldn't have any impact on land. This one here, a 40 to 60% chance that maybe it gets the name Julia. It looks like it will continue to track here just north of South America towards Central America. And so we'll see. Maybe that one will be the one that gets the name Julia. Right now, none of them look like they're going to affect the United States. At least that's the way it looks right now. Our next weather maker is this front. It will be dry. So the only thing this does for us is drop our temperature. It'll be warm ahead of it and cold behind it with weekend high temperatures in the 60s. Right now, we're looking at 60s, maybe into the low 70s. The blue area temperatures below normal, the yellows and oranges above normal. So we get above normal just a little bit on Thursday and Friday, and then we get hit by this next batch of chilly air, which could bring us some of the coldest mornings that we've seen so far this season. You can see on this map, it really looks cold, doesn't it? Just taking a nosedive right into North Carolina. Our normal low is 56. We tend to see that early in the morning, say around 7 a.m. this time of year. By Sunday morning, it's down to 45, and if it drops a little bit more than that, there could be some patchy frost, temperatures in the mid to upper 30s in our northern counties. So we'll be watching that. But in the meantime, Friday looks nice for maybe dinner outside. Other than that, it's kind of chilly.
Well, we'll hang our hats on Friday then. Elizabeth, thank you. A company that has a unique way of celebrating a special anniversary, how Crocs is marking 20 years in business.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. A rapper convicted of shooting and killing a 9-year-old boy in Durham could learn today how long he'll be behind bars. Antonio Davenport was found guilty of killing Zion Person, who was shot while riding in a car with his family to get snow cones. Prosecutors said Davenport's gang mistook the family's SUV as one belonging to its rivals.
Today, Wake County school leaders will reconsider the future of remote learning days. The district is trying to decide how useful those days actually are for students. District leaders want to make sure teachers are only using remote learning when absolutely necessary. Tonight's meeting starts at 5:30, and we'll have updates on our evening newscasts.
Loretta Lynn, the coal miner's daughter who became a queen of country music, has died. According to a statement her family released today, Lynn died peacefully in her sleep early this morning at her home in Tennessee. Her long music career spanned more than 50 years with the release of more than 60 albums. Loretta Lynn was 90 years old.
Crocs is giving away free pairs of shoes as it celebrates its 20th anniversary. The footwear brand is giving away tens of thousands of pairs of shoes this week. Fans can enter for a chance to win on the Crocs website or app. Winners will be chosen daily. The contest lasts through October 7th. The footwear brand even renamed this month Croctober.
Your feet will love you. It's a special day for taco lovers. It's National Taco Day. And this year, the unofficial holiday falls on Taco Tuesday. America honors the food each year on October 4th. Check your favorite chains and local restaurants for some great deals today. Free samples are back at Trader Joe's after more than a 2-year pandemic hiatus. Trader Joe's will offer up single-serve snacks and treats for customers to nibble on, but hot coffee will not return. Food demos will come back to some stores, but Trader Joe's will not relaunch them nationwide. Trader Joe's did not respond to requests for more information on the program.
Pet of the day time right now. Bixby is a 2-year-old, 31-pound little bundle of love. He is currently being treated for heartworms. He's living in a foster home with four other dogs and gets along with every single one of them. He's a perfect size, potty trained, ready to have his best life with his new family. He's available for adoption now, and Perfect Match will complete his heartworm treatment.
A new survey finds Americans are still planning fall travel despite higher costs due to inflation. Today on WRL News at 4, we'll show you why a new merger could make prices go up even more. I don't know about you, but I am ready to get my taco on for Taco Tuesday, National Taco Day.
I am not going to be denied. I can tell you that right now. WRL News returns for you at 4. You can get breaking news updates anytime with the WRL News app. Have a great day. Get a taco.